Hallelujah. Hey, put that, Caleb, put that last, the first verse of that last song up for me, will you? That last song that we sang, the first verse. Hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell. The dry season is over. When that song came up and that verse popped up there and I read those lines or sung them as best I could, man, something just welled up on the inside of me. And I received that. The dry season is over. There's a cloud beginning to swell. Y'all remember the story of Elijah? How he prayed for it not to rain and it didn't rain. He prayed again for it to rain and sent his servant up to the top of the mountain to see if the cloud had begun. And he went up seven times and then he said he saw a cloud the size of a man's fist. And then it began to rain. How many have been through a dry season? How many are in a dry season right now? I believe we all go through those dry seasons. I believe we do. I don't think we're immune from a dry season. But I love that. The dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell. Let your hope be there that a cloud is beginning to swell in your life. And that Holy Spirit is going to rain down on you. And you're going to be revived and refreshed with that fresh water. Your dry season is over. The cloud is beginning to swell in your life. That was for somebody today. Somebody needed to hear that their dry season is over. Somebody came expecting to hear something. And that was for you. Your dry season is over. A cloud is beginning to swell. But don't stop there. You keep looking and watch that cloud get bigger and bigger. And expect the rain to come down on your life. And receive it. Receive that rain. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to start this morning in Romans chapter 1. How many have been continuing their study in Romans? I talked to someone the other day. They said they read it three times through already. I said, did you learn anything? Remember, it's more about just the reading. You got to eat that word up. You got to meditate on it. Even if it just, you might read one verse, one line, one word. And if it sends something off inside of you, stay right there and meditate on it until the Holy Spirit reveals what He's trying to speak to you about that word. Amen? Amen. It's not a race to the finish. You don't have to see how fast you get there when it comes to studying and reading the word. Sometimes you just got to stay in the same place until the Holy Spirit releases you to move on. Amen? Romans chapter 1, let me read verses 16 and 17 here out of the King James. No, that's not where I want. Why is that not right? Yes, it is. Okay. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it has the power to save someone's soul. There we get opportunities every day to witness. And I'm not saying you have to speak scripture every day. I'm talking about just the way we live our life. That inside of us manifesting on the outside that people see. You walking around every day, going into the marketplace, going to school, going to work. You're a living testament of the goodness of God. Look what He did inside of you. I think back to the day I got born again. My goodness. The change that came over me. The person that I was, I don't even remember anymore. Can you think back to that day? Do you have a space and time that specifically happened where you gave your life to Christ and your entire life changed? Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Let me just confirm that with the Word for you. Someone needs to hear this. Verse 17 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, out of the Amplified, says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, that previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." The fresh and new has come. That's what happened to me. The fresh and new came into me, and I didn't remember that old creature anymore. That's what happens when you are introduced to the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord Himself. And it makes us unashamed of the gospel. For the gospel, a righteousness which ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith, this is amplified, from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses, or we could say awakens, another translation says, to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. You see, when we enter into this new life, we're to enter in faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Jesus has provided for us. Faith in eternal salvation, certainly. But faith, He came for something else too. He came to give us an abundant life here on this earth, here in this earth. And we're to live that abundant life that He died to give us. We're to be awakened. And I love that, how it says it in the Amplified, how it says faith awakens us or arouses us to more faith. As you continue in faith, steadfast, your faith will grow, increase, and lead to more faith. Amen? Has anyone experienced that in their life? Faith leading unto more faith, arousing or awakening that faith inside of us. A definition of awakening is arousing from sleep, arousing from inactivity or indifference, a revival of interest in something such as religion, or we could better say yet, a relationship with God, a coming into awareness, awakening. These things are awakened in us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I know we jumped right into it quick this morning. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to hear some things today. That is for us here now, in our time, in this season of life, in this time in God's clock. Ephesians 5, verses 14 through 17, out of the Amplified, read this way. "Therefore he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil." You know, I struggle there. I'll just tell you. I'll just be honest with you. I struggle with how much time Me, I personally waste in a day. I struggle with that. There are so many things that take our attention, that distract us, that we give our attention to. And I do it. I struggle with that. Because it says to buy up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. But it says, awake, awake, O sleeper. He's talking to us. Arouse from your sleep, from your slumber. What is, is it Proverbs? Correct me if I'm wrong, where it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. That doesn't mean we have to be diligently at physical work every day. But we got to be thinking about these things. We got to be mindful, living purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but wise. It's been a while now, I think 2017, and some of y'all will remember this. You know, Billy Brim had a word talking about awakening, and she said, one thing will save America. This was, I don't know if it was prior to the election or after the election, but she said, one thing will save America, an awakening. And she was talking about a word that was given through Kenneth Copeland back in 2009. He's talking about an awakening. I say one thing will save anyone. And that is an awakening to the things of God in our life. Does America need saved? I don't know, maybe, in the grand scheme of things. But what's more important? Individual lives, souls. Family. An awakening. An awakening to the things of God. An awakening to the person of Jesus. An awakening to the Holy Spirit. See, we got to consider all three. I know we're talking about a triune God. And I believe everybody in here, I believe everyone in here, I hope, has a relationship with their Savior and calls Jesus their Lord. But have we all been awakened to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit gives to us? Why the Holy Spirit was given to us? Jesus finished His work, right? He said, I'm done, I'm out of here, man. But I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you a comforter, a standby, an advocate. I'm going to send you someone that will lead and guide you into all truth. I'm done. My work is finished. But I'll send another to you. How many of us understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life? How many of us have been awakened to that gift, that precious gift that Jesus left us? We must be roused from our slumber and indifference and come into awareness of the things of God in such a way that leaves a mark on people wherever we go. I think if in my own life, you know, I fall every day, I think, because there are opportunities every day that I miss. Why? Because I don't keep this to the forefront of my mind. These things that I am a witness. I am an ambassador for Christ everywhere I go. And though I may not be out there doing crazy stuff, but am I taking advantage, like the Word says, of every opportunity? every opportunity to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, that inner person manifesting on the outside, making people aware of things, of the things of God. We must firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is for our life. You know, each one of us has a purpose, has a gift. Each one of us. We are unique, each one of us. Your fingerprint is proof of that. Not one person in here has the same fingerprint. You are unique. God created you uniquely. He's instilled gifts inside of you. And sometimes we can allow those gifts to lay dormant, or we can choose to activate them, to learn what the Word says about them, put them into play, right? Boy, this is going over good, I can tell. I can tell. An awakening to the person of Jesus. What was his main purpose? If you could pick one, what was his main purpose for manifesting in the earth? Redemption? Destroy the works of the devil? Salvation? Huh? Love. Love. All great answers, all true. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And if you look in Acts 10, verses 37 and 38, I'll just read them. "That word I say ye know, which is published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." You see, Jesus started it. And we are to continue it. And he sent his Holy Spirit. And we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit with power to go about doing exactly what Jesus did, destroying the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Well, we know he's a father of lies. He's a liar. We know that sin has entered the world because of the father of lies. So all sin originates with him. So how? How do we go about doing that? Well, one, you have to believe that's what you're here for. At least part of the reason. Destroy the works of the devil. I don't care if it's in your life, your family's life, your friend's life, your work co-worker's life, some stranger you meet on the street. Everything we do, we should be destroying the works of the devil everywhere we go. The light should be manifested in us so that we are destroying the works of the devil everywhere we go. Wherever the light is cannot Darkness cannot exist in the same place. You are children of the light. You're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Everywhere you go, you should be destroying the works of the devil. What if we went out in our day, when we woke up in the morning, that was the first thing in our heart and on our mind, I am going to destroy the works of the devil today. Wherever I go. Some of you may say, oh, I don't know. I might be losing a lot of friends. You might. I don't know. That's between you and God. That's the beauty of it. You can have a personal relationship with the Most High God and receive direction directly from Him. You don't have to go through a mediator. Jesus Christ was the permanent mediator who brought us before God Almighty. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Preach the word. Preach and teach the word, and you will see signs follow. Isn't that what it says? Oh, my notes got cut off here. I know it's in verse 20 of somewhere. Something, chapter 10, verse 20. Somebody help me out. I'm going to read it. And they went forth. I think, Acts. I think it's maybe Acts 10, 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. Confirming what? Well, something that is confirmed has to be provided, presented, spoken. You can't confirm something that hasn't been put out there. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. King James says, amen. That's a great place for an amen. Amen. Amplified reads this way, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen. So be it. It's not the other way around. Sometimes we get all amped up. We want to see signs and miracles. We want to act like Thomas. Thomas wasn't going to believe unless he could see the pierced hands and the side of Jesus himself. He said, Lord, show me and I will believe. Well, He wants us to believe and then He'll show us. How do we believe? How do you hear unless someone sent? He wants us to believe and then He'll show us things too marvelous for us. Too marvelous for us. Wonders. Signs, miracles. I've said it for years and years and years. There's going to be a harvest in the earth, an end time harvest of souls. And I'm telling you what, this thing is wrapping up, guys. This age is wrapping up. I'm not saying tomorrow, I'm not setting any dates. But if you look at the sign of the times, we are there. We are in the middle of this thing. This thing is wrapping up. And we need to pay attention. And I have said for years that I believe the calling card of the last days are going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. Billy Graham. Untold millions, I'm sure, at least introduced to Jesus through his ministry. Untold millions. The reach of his ministry. We may not even know until we get to heaven. But I believe the Billy Grahams of this age, and I say this carefully, but that has passed away. That's probably not the right word. I believe that this world has grown so calloused that it is going to take a shaking, something big, to get their attention. We're learning in class, the tribulation period is going to shake the Jewish nation and make them stand up and take notice. That is what the tribulation period is for. Well, I believe that there is going to be a shaking prior to the tribulation, prior to our rapture, that is going to bring an influx of souls into the kingdom of God that we've never seen or witnessed before. And I believe that is going to be through signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe it. But what has to happen in order to see that? The word has to be preached. It says those things follow the word. They follow the word. I watched a video, excuse me, of Lester Sumrall. How many remember Lester Sumrall? That many, all right. Lester Sumrall, the experience he was talking about was his experience with Smith Wigglesworth. How many remember or know of the name Smith Wigglesworth? Well, prior to World War II, Lester Sumrall spent 2 years in England. He was preaching over in England for 2 years. And he was sharing this story about how he had this meeting. And he had heard about Smith Wigglesworth prior to this, and he knew he was going to be over there for an extended period. And he said in his mind, "Oh, I want to meet this guy. I want to meet Smith Wigglesworth. I want to meet him. I want to talk to him. I want to fellowship with him." Well, it just so happened that one meeting that he was scheduled in, I forget what town or where it was, but Smith Wigglesworth was scheduled to minister at the same meeting. And so he said, not only do I get to meet this guy, but I get to minister with him. And so Lester Sumrall was sharing the story. He said, I was the first one to give the message. He said, I'm an evangelist. It was an evangelistic message, even though these were all ministers. He did say it was a minister's meeting. And he said Smith Wigglesworth was later down the list there. After the meeting, he went and got to meet Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith said, come talk to me. He said, okay. He said, when can I come? He said, whenever you want. All right, well, where do you want to meet? He said, come to my house. He got his name and he got his address and his phone number, and there were some meetings that were. He said it was a real central location throughout England, so all the meetings he was going to, it was kind of centralized. So he started going and visiting Smith Wigglesworth, and he said the first time he went to his house, he walked up to his house and he said he looked very English at that time, had the English hat and had his little umbrella and his little suit on and had a newspaper under his arm, and he knocked on the door, and Smith came to the door. He said, what's that? Pointing to the newspaper. He said, it's a newspaper. No, that can't come in my house. Leave it outside. I don't want them lies in my house. So evidently, even back in the early 1900, in the early 20th century, there were lies and fake news happening, I guess. He said he wouldn't even allow it in his house. So he put the newspaper, threw it in the bush, and came in. He said they came into the parlor there, a little parlor area, and sat down. He said, I want to read the word. And he said he got the Bible out and started reading. He said about 30 minutes later, after he'd been reading the word, he said, let's pray. They prayed. He said it was probably another 30 minutes they were praying. When they got done praying, he opened the Bible back up and he said he read for another 30 minutes out of the Bible. And he said, let's pray again. He said this went on for over 2 hours. Didn't speak much at all. This is his first encounter, real encounter with him. They said, all right, let's get something to eat. And as someone there had prepared a meal, and they went in and had fellowship over a meal. Didn't say much. He said he was a very odd man, a very unusual man with unusual ways about him. And that was his first meeting with Smith Wigglesworth. But then he started developing a relationship with him. And he would, like I said, that town that Smith lived in was central to most of, I guess, wherever he was preaching throughout England. And so every time he'd itinerate, he'd go and he'd come through there and he'd stop in and see Smith. And they developed a relationship over these 2 years. And then something happened where Lester had to leave the country, something called World War II. And he had to leave the country. But it spoke to me when I watched that video of him sharing that experience. Because when he left that house the first day, he said, I was walking down the street and I was pondering what had just happened. He said, man, that was different. That was strange. But then this overwhelming sensation came over him that something had been imparted to him. Something in that experience that he had with Smith, something had been imparted to him, and he received an impartation that only the Holy Spirit could drop into his spirit. And he said from that day forward, he was different. He ministered different. It changed him. So evidently, all you need is the Word of God and prayer to make a difference. Sometimes we want to seek all these outside things, right? We want to see these manifestations. We want to see these miracles. We want to see these signs and wonders. And that's all good and well, but it starts with the Word and with prayer. And evidently a good meal. He said it was a good meal. And who doesn't like a good meal? The Word. Why am I saying all this? I'm here to encourage you today to get into the Word of God. Spend time in this book. Reading it. And meditating on it. And digesting it. Because the times that we are in require it. We just read it. We just read it. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Buy up each opportunity. Live purposefully. I believe everything I've read about the person of Smith Wigglesworth, he was on purpose with everything that he did. And his ministry was very impactful. And we ought to be the same way. Live purposefully. I'm not saying you have to put aside all these other things that we're doing. But don't give them first place. Give God first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Give the Word first place in your heart. When you go out to lunch today, speak the Word with someone. Fellowship around the Word and food. When you see your friend out in the marketplace, talk about the goodness of God. What is the Lord doing in your life? And as you do this, I'm telling you, it just brings it back to your remembrance day by day, every day. Because we all need to be encouraged. We all need to be reminded so that we can live purposefully and live for God. Boy, this was a jump up and shout down the roof message today. See, y'all were saying, yeah, he said come expecting. And I was expecting us to be jumping around this place, excited. Well, maybe. Maybe that's next week. I just try to be obedient and share what the Lord is sharing with me. It's up to you to do something with it. Because I believe, and I've said this before, whoever's sharing something, that something can minister and speak a message to Reggie, but with Teresa sitting one chair over from him, it can minister a completely different message to her. That's how, it says that God is multifaceted. So that same message, they're hearing that same message, but it can minister two completely different things to each one of them. That's why when you come expecting, I'm not saying it doesn't matter what's being ministered. I'm just saying when you come expecting, you're going to hear, you're going to get something, you're going to receive something that you need. That's how good God is. Let's get beyond coming out of tradition and it's because of what I've always done. Let's come together. Let's come together as a body expecting some things. Coming in great expectation of some things. For your life, for others. Come with an encouraging word for someone else. Because everyone, no matter what station of life you're in, everyone needs to be encouraged and lifted up. And that's what we're here for, is for one another. To encourage and lift up and edify and strengthen. Come alongside. Hold up each other. Because we're all going through stuff. We all have our trials, our tribulations. We all do. No matter how much on the outside we look like we got it all together, we are all going through something and need encouragement. Amen. Don't judge that person that reacts in a way that you think is completely, I'm just asinine. I don't know a better word to describe it. Don't judge that person. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know. They could have had the worst day of their life. Something happened in their life that day. And you don't know. And they say something off the cuff or just something just completely out of, their normal. And don't judge them. Encourage them. We're here to love one another. And as we do that, as we love one another, the world is going to stand up and take notice because it says that we'll be known by our love for one another, a love for our brethren, a love for those who are like-minded, a love for those who have Jesus in common. So as we love our brothers and sisters, the world will stand up and take notice. If I'm not mistaken, it was one of the answers given why Jesus came. Love. love. So, that's my message for today. Short and sweet, but I believe powerful. I believe we need to understand the times that we're in. Jesus said that was important, to discern the times. And as we discern the times, we need to understand what our role is, what we're to be doing. We need to understand why Jesus came into the earth. We need to understand that we have a part to play to continue. We're really just enforcing, upholding what Jesus died to give us, to give the world salvation, destroying the works of the devil, exposing the devil, exposing all that he does in this earth. He's the accuser of the brethren. He detests you and your relationship with God. Detests is not even a strong enough word. He detests you so much, he would kill you if he could. Because he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But guess what? With the Holy One living on the inside of you, you have an advantage. You have an advantage over the world who has no relationship with God. That curtain has been torn. You can walk right up to the throne room of God and say, "Daddy, this is going on. Help me out. Holy Spirit, this is going on in my life. Help me out." He is your helper. And I believe as you pray that sincere, heartfelt prayer, it makes tremendous power available. Whether it's healing power, healing of emotions, healing of your physical body, healing of a relationship, healing of your mind. Laborers come alongside of you and help you. And that's where we have to, and I'm going to wrap this up. But that's where we have to be sensitive. We have to be discerning as born-again believers. Because there's a believer out there that may need you in that moment, and you need to discern that need and speak to it. Hey, I miss it all the time. I'm sure you do as well. Maybe not. I don't know. But that's where that discernment, that gift of discernment comes in. This person's going through something. Sometimes they may show you exactly, the Holy Spirit may reveal exactly what it is and you can speak to it. Sometimes, maybe not, you just come alongside and love on them. Let them know that they're thought of and cared for, about. As a body, that's what we're called to do. Come together. That reminded me of that third day song. I want to sing it so bad, but I won't. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord. I believe that the Holy Spirit has shared some things this morning, and I believe that they have fallen on ears to hear, and I believe that everyone under the sound of my voice will take something away today. Take it with them. Take it out of this place and take it with them, and they will apply it in their life. And we will see, as we apply these things that we are hearing and learning and understanding, that we'll see that abundant life that Jesus died to give us manifesting in our life. Abundant life. He came, He died to give us life and life more abundantly. So let us walk, buying back the time, like it says, being purposeful with our life. Not being foolish or unwise, but living on purpose. Paying back the time for the days are evil. Understanding the time that we are in, and that time is short. And that time is going to be wrapped up one day. The scrolls will be rolled up. And there'll be time no more. But there's time for us now. There's time for you. There's time for your family, for your friends, for your acquaintances, for strangers that the Lord brings across your path. There's time right now for that. So as we're praying with every head bowed, let me just ask a question. I believe the Holy Spirit is shedding abroad in your heart something. And I would ask you today, do you understand what we're talking about? Has your spirit been reborn? Do you have a relationship with the Creator of the universe where you can talk to Him? Do you know Jesus? Have you received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And if you search your heart and you can say no, then I'm here to tell you today that today is the day of your salvation. Today is a new dawn for you. The Lord loves you and wants you to come into relationship with Him. He wants to give you this abundant life. He wants to give you eternal salvation. And all you have to do is ask and receive it. It's for you today. Is there anyone here that needs that? I offer it to you right now. Right now. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that everyone in this building has relationship with you. And because they have relationship with you, there are things that are theirs by your word. And I pray in the name of Jesus that they would seek your word. Seek those things out in your word. Prayerfully consider their purpose in this earth. And then set their feet to do it. Set their feet to be about the Father's business. And as we do these things, as we dive into your word, go deeper into your word, and as we preach your word, we will see these signs, wonders, and miracles that will be a calling card to the world. But let us get first things first. Amen. 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 The Lord loves us. He loves us dearly. Loves us dearly. I love you dearly. I love you dearly.